Tonight's chapter number 32. Krishna returns to the gopis. I request everyone to try to enter samadhi by removing all external distractions and diversions, cell phones, and try to find a place where you can become totally absorbed in this wonderful Krishna book. The idea is that if you can give rapt attention, you will get a glimpse of Vrindavan. Trinadapi sunichena turar iva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Haryanama, Haryanama, Haryanamaiva kevalam, kalo nastyeva, 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 gatiranyata. This Krishna book is the specific mercy of Krishna upon Srila Prabhupada, the founder acharya of our movement. We thank Srila Prabhupada for giving us this wonderful gift. And we thank Krishna for inspiring Prabhupada to write it so wonderfully. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chapter 32. Krishna returns to the gopis. When Lord Krishna finally reappeared among the assembled gopis, he looked very beautiful, just befitting a person with all kinds of opulences. We learned in the preface that Krishna has six specific opulences. Aishvarasya samagrasya, viryasya yashasa sriya, jnana vairagyos chaiva, shanam bhaga itingana. Krishna has all beauty, all wealth, all strength, all fame, all knowledge, and also renunciation. Krishna has already demonstrated his opulence of renunciation in chapter 29, when in the midst of this rasa lila, he disappeared and went deep into the forest with only Srimati Radharani, leaving all the other gopis abandoned. But then, noticing that Srimati Radharani also had the same symptoms as the other gopis, which caused him to leave, namely pride, he also removed himself from her vision as well. And while the gopis were looking for him and crying out, and in the previous chapter, we studied the Gopi's song, the Gopi Gita. Krishna was observing them, but he had kept himself hidden. In the Brahma Sanhita, it is stated, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavatabi. Krishna alone is not particularly beautiful, but when his energy, especially his pleasure energy, represented by Radharani, expands, he looks very magnificent. The Mayavad conception of perfection, that is, an absolute truth without potency, is due to insufficient knowledge. Actually, outside the exhibition of his different potencies, the absolute truth is not complete. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa means that his body is a transcendental form of eternal bliss and knowledge. Krishna is always surrounded by different potencies, and therefore he is perfect and beautiful. We understand from the Brahma Sanhita and Skanda Purana that Krishna is always surrounded by many thousands of goddesses of fortune. The gopis are all goddesses of fortune, and Krishna took them hand in hand on the bank of the Yamuna. It is said in the Skanda Purana that out of many thousands of gopis, 16,000 are prominent. Out of those 16,000, 108 are especially prominent. And by the way, that's one reason why we have 108 beads on our japa mala, representing these 108 prominent gopis. Out of these 108 gopis, 8 gopis are still more prominent. Out of those 8 gopis, Radharani and Chandravali are even more important. So, we learn from the Chaitanya Charitamrita that there are 2 camps of gopis, left-wing gopis and right-wing gopis. Chandravali heads up the right-wing gopis. They are more conservative. And Radharani heads up the left-wing gopis, who are more, frolicsome. And out of these 2 gopis, Radharani is the most prominent. When Krishna entered the forest on the bank of the river Yamuna, the moonlight dissipated the surrounding darkness. Due to the season, flowers like the kunda and kadamba were blooming, and a gentle breeze was carrying their aroma. We learned previously, the kunda flower looks like it's always smiling, and that's why Krishna is known as Mukunda, because he has a face which is always smiling, just like the kunda flower. Due to the aroma, the bees were also flying in the breeze, thinking that the aroma was honey. The gopis made a seat for Krishna by leveling the soft sand and placing cloths over it. The gopis who were gathered there had almost all been followers of the Vedas in their previous births. During Lord Ramachandra's advent, they had been Vedic scholars who desired the association of Lord Ramachandra in conjugal love. Ramachandra had given them the benediction that they would be present for the advent of Lord Krishna, and he would fulfill their desires. The reason why Lord Ramachandra did not fulfill the desires of those sages is because Lord Ramachandra had taken a vow, Eka Patni Vrata. In the incarnation of Ramachandra, the Lord exhibited his opulence again of renunciation by only marrying one wife, Sita. During Krishna's advent, the Vedic scholars took birth in the shape of the gopis of Vrindavan. As young gopis, they got the association of Krishna in fulfillment of their previous birth's desire. Their ultimate goal of perfect desire was attained, and they were so joyous they had nothing further to desire. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. If one attains the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he or she has no desire for anything. That, of course, Prabhupada is taking from chapter 6, in the section of chapter 6 where it talks about samadhi. And then there's that line, upon gaining this, one thinks there is no greater gain. When the gopis had Krishna in their company, not only all their grief, but also their lamenting in the absence of Krishna was relieved. They felt they had no desire to be fulfilled. Fully satisfied in the company of Krishna, they spread their cloths on the ground. And similarly, for myself, when I am in the company of my Namahat family, when I am in the company of my webcast family, I also feel that I have no desire left to be fulfilled. I live for these webcasts. I live to preach. These garments were made of fine linen and smeared with red kumkum, which decorated their breasts. With great care, they spread a sitting place for Krishna. Krishna was their life and soul, and they created a very comfortable seat for him. Similarly, we should create a nice seat for Krishna in our own hearts. This is mentioned in the chapter known as the Cleansing of the Gundicha Temple, found in the Madhya Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was mentioned that Lord Chaitanya and his associates, they cleansed the Gundicha Temple twice, because the Gundicha Temple represents Vrindavan, and the Gundicha Temple is where Lord Jagannath resides for 15 days after the Rath Yatra parade. And that Gundicha Temple represents Vrindavan, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta says, just as Lord Chaitanya and his associates cleansed the temple twice in order to make it a fitting place for Krishna to sit, similarly, we should make our own hearts a clean place for Krishna to live. Therefore, we should remove all jealousy, envy, material desires, and all kinds of offenses. We should remove them from our hearts, and so that Krishna can sit peacefully in our hearts. Sitting on the seat amongst the gopis, Krishna became more beautiful. Great yogis like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, or even Lord Shesha and others always tried to fix their attention upon Krishna in their hearts. But here the gopis actually saw Krishna seated before them on their cloths. In the society of the gopis, Krishna looked very beautiful. They were the most beautiful damsels within the three worlds, and they assembled together around Krishna. Krishna seated himself beside each of the many gopis, and it may be asked herein how he did this. There is a significant word in this verse, Ishvar. As is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse 61, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam. Ishvara refers to the Supreme Lord as the Supersoul seated in everyone's heart. Krishna also manifested this potency of expansion as Paramatma in this gathering with the gopis. Krishna was sitting by the side of each gopi, unseen by the others. Krishna was so kind to the gopis that instead of sitting in their hearts to be appreciated in yogic meditation, he seated himself by their sides. By seating himself outside, he showed special favor to the gopis, who were the selected beauties of all creation. This brings to mind something we learn in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishnadas Kaviraj in chapter 1 mentions that because we cannot visualize the Supersoul within the hearts, Supersoul externally manifests and appears before us as our spiritual master. Let us continue. Krishna seated himself by the side of the gopis. By seating himself outside, he showed special favor to the gopis, who were the selected beauties of all creation. Having gotten their most beloved Lord, the gopis began to please him by moving their eyebrows and smiling, and also by suppressing their anger. Now, why were they angry? Because Krishna had left them. And another point here, it says by moving their eyebrows. Yes, when a woman moves her eyebrows, it acts like arrows which enter the hearts of a man. And that is why it is recommended in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam by Lord Kapila that when we look upon Krishna, the deity, we should look at his eyebrows so that he will protect us from the eyebrow glances of lusty persons. Some of them took his lotus feet in their laps and massaged them, and while smiling, they confidentially expressed their suppressed anger and said, "Dear Krishna, we are ordinary women of Vrindavan, and we do not know much about Vedic knowledge, what is right and what is wrong. We therefore put a question to you, and since you are very learned, you can answer it properly. In dealings between lovers, we find that there are three classes of men. One class simply receives, another class reciprocates favorably, even if the lover is very contrary, and the third class neither acts contrary nor answers favorably in dealings of love. So out of these three classes, which do you prefer, or which do you call honest?" In answer, Krishna said, "My dear friends, persons who simply reciprocate the loving dealings of the other party are just like merchants. They give in loving affairs as much as they get from the other party. Practically, there is no question of love. It is simply self-interested or self-centered business dealings. Even those without a tinge of loving affairs are better than these merchants. Better than the first class is the second class of men, who love in spite of the opposite party's contrariness. Such sincere love can be seen when the father and mother love their children in spite of their children's neglect. The third class neither reciprocate nor neglect, and they can be further divided into two classes. One comprises the self-satisfied, who do not require anyone's love. They are called Atmarama, which means they are absorbed in the thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and so do not care whether one loves them or not. But another class comprises ungrateful men. They are called callous. The men in this group revolt against superior persons. For instance, a son, in spite of receiving all kinds of things from loving parents, may be callous and not reciprocate. Those in this class are generally known as Guru Druha, which means they receive favors from the parents or the spiritual master and yet neglect them." Krishna indirectly answered the questions of the gopis, even those questions which implied that Krishna did not properly reciprocate the gopis' dealings. In answer, Krishna said that he, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is self-satisfied. He does not require anyone's love. But at the same time, he said that he is not ungrateful. Krishna continued, "My dear friends, you might be aggrieved by my words and acts, but you must know that sometimes I do not reciprocate my devotees' dealings with me. My devotees are very much attached to me, but sometimes I do not reciprocate their feelings properly in order to increase their love for me more and more." And this, of course, reminds us of the experience of the 5-year-old Narada Muni. When Narada Muni sat down for meditation, the Lord appeared before him, and Narada Muni was feeling and experiencing complete exhilaration and complete ecstasy, feeling no separation between himself and the Lord. And he informed Vyasadeva that all the limbs of his body were separately enlivened. But then the form of the Lord disappeared. And although the young boy tried again and again to meditate, the Lord did not appear. And then he heard a voice.
"Narad, I regret to inform you that you will not see me again in this life. And I am doing this to purify you. I have shown my form to you once, and this is simply to have you hanker for me. Now that you have seen me one time, for the rest of your life, you will hanker to see this form again. And because you will not see me again in this life, that hankering will purify you."
"Sometimes," Krishna said, "I do not reciprocate their feelings properly in order to increase their love for me more and more. If I can very easily be approached by them, they might think, 'Oh, Krishna is so easily available.' So sometimes I do not respond. If a person has no money, but after some time accumulates some wealth and then loses it, he or she will think of the lost property 24 hours a day. Similarly, in order to increase the love of my devotees, sometimes I appear to be lost to them. And instead of forgetting me, they feel their loving sentiments for me to increase. My dear friends, do not think for a moment that I have been dealing with you as I do with ordinary devotees. I know what you are. You have forsaken all kinds of social and religious obligations. You have given up all connection with your parents. Without caring for social convention and religious obligations, you have come to me and loved me. And I am so much obliged to you that I cannot treat you as ordinary devotees. Do not think that I was away from you. I was near to you. I was simply seeing how much you were anxious for me in my presence. So please do not try to find fault with me. Because you consider me so dear to you, kindly excuse me if I have done anything wrong. I cannot repay your continuous love for me, even throughout the lifetimes of the demigods and the heavenly planets. It is impossible to repay you or show enough gratitude for your love. Therefore, please be satisfied by your own pious activities. You have displayed exemplary attraction for me, overcoming the greatest difficulties arising from family connections. Please be satisfied with your highly exemplary character, for it is not possible for me to repay my debt to you. So this is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Adi Lila, chapter number 4, where the entire chapter is devoted to understanding Srimati Radha Thakurani. So the understanding is, we learn from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 11, Ye yatang mang prapadyante, tangs tataiva vajamyaham, mama vartmanu vartante, manushya partha sarvashaha. All, everyone, Krishna says, is on my path, and I reciprocate accordingly as one surrenders. But now, in this particular chapter, we see that Krishna has violated his own Bhagavad Gita. The gopis have shown that Bhagavad Gita 4.11 does not apply to them. Because look what Krishna says. It is not possible for me to repay my debt to you. So for everyone else, Krishna reciprocates according to one's surrender. But the surrender of the gopis is so much that Krishna cannot repay them. This is how great this Rasa Lila section is, and how great are the gopis. Prabhupada finishes this beautiful chapter. The exemplary character of devotional service manifested by the devotees of Vrindavan is the purest type of devotion. It is enjoined in authoritative shastras that devotional service must be ahoituki and apratihata. This means that devotional service to Krishna cannot be checked by political or religious convention. The stage of devotional service is always transcendental. The gopis particularly showed pure devotional service toward Krishna, so much so that Krishna himself remained indebted to them. Lord Chaitanya thus said that devotional service manifested by the gopis in Vrindavan excelled all other methods of approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 32nd chapter of Krishna. Krishna returns to the gopis.
Jayati Chedikam Channa Vraja Shrayata Indira Shaspadat Trahi Dayata Drishyatam Dikshutavakas Vaitritasavas Tvangvichinvati Charadu Dashaye Sadhu Jata Sat Sarasi Jodhra Shri Ugadusha Suratanat Che Shulka Dasika Varada Nidnato Neha King Vadha Vishajalapya Yad Vyala Rakshasad Varshamarutad Vaidyutanalad Vrishamayatmajad Vishvatobhayad Rishabhatevayam Rakshithamohu Nakala Govika Nandano Bhavan Akila Dehinam Antaratma Drik Vikana Sartito Vishvaguptaye Sakha Ude Ivan Satvatankule Virachitabhayam Rishni Durayate Charanam Iyushang Sangsritir Bhayat Karasaroruhang Kantakamadang Shirasi Dehina Shri Karagraham Raja Janarati Han Virayoshitang Nija Janasmaya Dvangsanasmita Bhajasake Bhavat Kinkarismano Jalaru Hananang Charu Darshaya Pranata Dehinam Papakarshanang Trinacharanugam Triniketanam Fani Fanar Pichang Tepadam Bujang Krinu Kuche Shunna Krinhi Rich Chayam Madhuraya Gira Valgu Vakyaya Udamano Gyaya Pukshareksana Vidhikaririma Viramuyati Adara Sidunap Yayasvatna Tavakatamritam Dakta Jeevanam Kavirbir Iditam kalma shapahan shravana mangalam srimad atatang huvi grinanti ye hure dajana rahasitang priya prema vikshanam viharanam chate dhyana kamalat rahasi sambido yahridi sprisha kuhaka no mana shobhayanti chalasiyad vrajat charayan pashun nalina sundanam nata tipadam Shilatrinan kurai Sida titina Kalilatang mana Kanta gachchati Dinaparik shaye Nilakundalair Vanaruhananam Vibradavritam Ghanarajas Valam Darshayan Muhu Manasina Smaram Vira Yachtasi Pranata kamadam padmajarchitam dharani mandanam jayam apadi charanapangajam shantamam chate ramana Na stanesh varpayadihan surata vardhanang shokpanashanang swarita venuna sushtu chumbitam Ittara raga vismaranang nrinang Vittara viranas tiddharamritam Atiyad bhavan ahnikananang Truti Yugayati Tvam Pashyatam Kutila Kuntalam Srimukam Chate Jada Udikshatam Pakshmakridrisham Patisutanvaya Pratribhandavan Atibilanghyatintya Achyutagata Gativedastapod Gita Mohita Kittava Yoshita Kastya Jainishi
Rahasi sang vidang Richchayodayang Rahasi dananang Prema vikshanam Brihatura sriyo Vikshadamate Muhurati spriha Muhyate mana Prajavanau kasang Yaktirangate Vrijinahantriyalang Vishwamangalam Tyajamanak Chanas Twatsprihatmanang Swajanarid Rujang Yan Nishudanam Yate Sujata Charanam Buruang Staneshu Vitajana Priyadadhi Mahi Karkekshu Tenatavim Atisad Vyatate Nukingsvit Kupadivi Brahmatidir Vayad Ayushanna Tavakatam Ritam Taktajivanam Kavibir Iditam Kalma Shapahang Shravana Mangalam Srimad Atatang Ubi Greenanti Ye Purida Jana Ye Purida Jana Ye Purida Jana Ye Purida Jana The gopi said, O beloved, your birth in the land of Raja has made it exceedingly glorious. And thus Indira, the goddess of fortune, always resides here. It is only for your sake that we, your devoted servants, maintain our lives. We have been searching everywhere for you, so please show yourself to us. O Lord of love, in beauty your glance excels the whirl of the finest, most perfectly formed lotus within the autumn pond. O bestower of benedictions, you are killing the maidservants who have given themselves to you freely without any price. Is this not murder? O greatest of personalities, you have repeatedly saved us from all kinds of danger. Danger from the poisoned water, from the terrible man-eater Agha, from the great rains, from the wind demon, from the fiery thunderbolt of Indra, and from the bull demon, and also from the son of Maya Danava. You are not actually the son of Gopi Yashoda. O friend, you are rather the indwelling wetness in the heart of all embodied souls. Because Lord Brahma prayed for you to come and protect the universe, you have now appeared in the Satvata dynasty. O best of the Rishnis, your lotus-like hand which holds the hand of the goddess of fortune, grants fearlessness to those who approach your feet out of fear of material existence. O lover, please place that wish-fulfilling lotus hand on our heads. O you who destroy the suffering of Raja's people, O you, O hero of all women, your smile shatters the false pride of your devotees. Please, dear friend, accept us as your maidservants and show us your beautiful lotus face. Your lotus feet destroy the past sins of all embodied souls who surrender unto them. Those feet follow after the cows in the pastures and are the eternal abode of the goddess of fortune. Since you once put those feet on the hoods of the great serpent Kaliya, please place them on our breasts and tear away the lust in our hearts. O lotus-eyed one, your sweet voice and charming words, which attract the minds of the intelligent, are bewildering us more and more. O dear hero, please revive your maidservants with the nectar of your lips. The nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in this material world. These narrations, transmitted by learned sages, eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Certainly, those who spread the message of Godhead are most munificent. Jai, Srila Prabhupada. Your smiles, your sweet loving glances, the intimate pastimes and confidential talks we enjoyed with you, all these are auspicious to meditate upon, and they touch our hearts. But at the same time, O deceiver, they very much agitate our minds. O master, dear lover, when you leave the cowherd village to herd the cows, our minds are disturbed with the thought that your feet, which are more beautiful than a lotus, will be pricked by the spiked husks of grain and the rough grass and plants. At the end of the day, you repeatedly show us your lotus face, covered with dark blue locks of hair and thickly powdered with dust. Thus, O hero, you arouse lusty desires in our minds. Your lotus feet, which are worshipped by Lord Brahma, fulfill the desires of all those who bow down to them. They are the ornament of the earth. They give the highest satisfaction, and in times of danger, they are appropriate object of meditation. O lover, O destroyer of anxiety, please put those lotus feet upon our breasts. O hero, kindly distribute to us the nectar of your lips, which enhances conjugal pleasure and vanquishes grief. That nectar is thoroughly relished by your vibrating flute and makes people forget any other attachment. When you go off to the forest during the day, a tiny fraction of a second becomes like a millennium for us because we cannot see you. And even when we can eagerly look upon your beautiful face, so lovely with its adornment of curly locks, our pleasure is hindered by our eyelids, which were fashioned by that foolish creator, Brahma. Dear Achyuta, you know very well why we have come here. Who but a cheater like you would abandon young women who come to see him in the middle of the night, enchanted by the loud song of his flute? Just to see you, we have completely rejected our husbands, children, ancestors, brothers, and other relatives. Our minds are repeatedly bewildered as we think of the intimate conversations we had with you in secret, feel the rise of lust in our hearts, and remember your smiling face, your loving glances, and your broad chest, which is the resting place of the goddess of fortune. Thus we experience the most severe hankering for you. O beloved, your all-auspicious appearance vanquishes the distress of those living in Vraja's forests. Our minds long for your association. Please give to us just a bit of that medicine which counteracts the disease of your devotees' hearts. O dearly beloved, your lotus feet are so soft that we place them gently on our breasts, fearing that your feet will be hurt. Our life rests only in you. Our minds, therefore, are filled with anxiety that your tender feet might be wounded by pebbles as you roam about the forest path. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.